Blog Talk Radio.
Well, well, well. Greetings. This is your brother Elohim. We're here another day trying to bring you some information about how to help you do things. Today's show is about economics, okay? As I walk the path of being honest and good, I will keep my mind focused on reaching to sow. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of delight and I'll get what I want. Get what I want, okay? You have to be careful that you know what you want. Be careful what you ask for, okay? Remember, love is an act to make others feel good, okay? If you're participating in love, you're loving each other, that's going to make a big difference in your life and what's going on. You only do acts, only commit acts that make the other side, other group, other person, whoever you're with, feel good. Then you'll be in a feel-good relationship if they reciprocate, if they know the same rule. Because if both of you are doing everything to make each other feel good, well, what could go wrong with the relationship? You understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. It's just common sense. You know, don't be pushing each other's buttons. Don't be playing these little games that they be showing on TV. Don't go through none of that, okay? Just do things and make each other feel good. Now, you know I'm a Bible thumper. I'm Elohim, okay? And I don't teach the Bible as a religious book. I teach the Bible as a code book. Although when you look at the codes, it begins to bring you into religion, which means to realign yourself with source energy, okay? I don't know. The occult, the occultism is pervasive around the world. To get the occult set up, get a few rituals going on, and boy, do you fall in line. the truth that's in the book, you can't seem to hear the truth that's in the book. You only seem to hear the stuff that that the occult members, the occult leaders are pushing you towards, all right? Now, like I said, the show is about economics, and we're going to start with the Bible. And remember the story of Joseph, okay? We talk about this all the time. We're going to do the full story of economics. Anytime you want to talk about economics or deal with economics, then you come and just listening on Tuesday. I mean, Thursday. Just listening on Thursday. And that's all we talk about, economics, how to make money, what money's for, the whole nine yards. We talk about money, all right? Deal with the definition of economics. I'm going to give you a definition of economics. This is the one you need to go with, okay? Economics, somebody else working and paying you. Why? What do you mean somebody else is working and paying me? Well, that's what I'm saying. Something, either somebody or something working and paying you money, all right? Now, how do you get to the point that somebody is working and paying you money? That sounds a little slavery thing for a minute there, don't it? No. Remember the story of Joseph when they took him away from his dad and put him in a hole in Egypt. The whole story is about one thing. He became the grand vizier of Egypt, or Kemet, okay? He became the grand vizier of Kemet, all right? So he became the grand vizier of Kemet. So by him dealing with Kemet like that, the Pharaoh was relying on him to help him with the economic structure, with the money, how to run the doggone government, you know? And Joseph, right, now they don't speak of what Joseph's actual religion was. They don't get into that, okay? They relate him to being of the Hebrew lineage, but that don't say that he was worshiping or practicing Hebrew, okay? That's a whole nother story, all right? Now, what he told Pharaoh, because he saw, he had little visions, you know, because when you meditate and your pineal gland, pituitary gland function properly, you can see things into the future, really. You can see and know things before they happen. And boy, that's a good place to be, you know? So what he told Pharaoh, he said, look, Pharaoh, you know we're going to be in trouble. I'm paraphrasing, naturally. He said, you need to save half your crop. Save half your crop and spend half the crop. Let half the crop go to the people, sell half the crop, whatever, and save half the crop. All right? Told him to do that for the next 7 years. So Pharaoh did that, and when the drought came, Pharaoh was in good shape with supplies and stuff for the people. You know what I'm saying? So basically he was telling him, save 50%, spend 50%, save half, spend half. That's the 50% budget. That's the budget that we in Elohim Power Tribe Society recommend that everybody be on. We recommend that everyone be on the 50% budget, okay? Now, what does that mean, be on a 50% budget, you know? Just think about it for a second. If you, wouldn't you like to have half the money that you spent over your lifetime? I'm sure you would. Your pockets would be pretty nice. Your pockets would be all right. See what I'm saying? Right now, they got you living paycheck to paycheck. Talking about some 10%. What in the heck are you going to do with 10% of your money when something goes wrong? Nothing. That's not enough to invest in anything. See? that's not enough to invest in anything. That's not enough to put your money, or it would take you forever if nothing goes wrong. But things happen. The plans don't work out the way they normally do. You know? I'm watching the 18. What's the 18? No. I leverage. The guy says, look, they can't figure out what I'm doing because most of the time, plan A don't work. Plan B, plan C, sometimes I call you up to plan D, you know, to make this thing happen. And, you know, the old saying, things don't always go the way you plan. So you have to have backup plans to make things work the way you want them to work. And that's very important, okay? Now, so we're talking about economics, and the meaning of the word economics that we're throwing out is somebody else working and paying you. You start that off with the 50% budget. Now, I'm telling you where I got it from. I got it from the Bible, okay? All the stuff I'm talking, all the books I'm writing, none of this stuff is coming from me. It's all coming from someplace else. I can't really take credit for none of this stuff, but I'm bringing it to you. Because I'm going through it, and it's becoming a part of my DNA. So I'm throwing it out there so you can absorb it, and it become part of your DNA. The only price that we ask for when we talk to you about economics is that you pass it on to the children. You tell somebody. That's the price. That's the payment for this information. Go and tell somebody to put themselves on a 50% budget, okay? Now, the object, like I'm saying, of economics, somebody else or something working and paying you. Wheat filters, though, the quickest way to get there, right, is actually through real estate. It might not seem like it, but it's actually through real estate. That's how we see it, unless you're going to be gambling out there, and that's tricky because you're risking everything unless you can do some insider trading like the big boys do. You know, they're only putting all that money out unless they have a good idea of what's going to happen with the market. And they're doing little things to control the market. Okay? So, what we're saying is that economics is somebody else working and paying you. I'm going to say that quite a few times before this hour's over with. Because I really want that to sink in. I want you to hear that. I want you to see that. Okay? We're running, I need a job. I need a job. No, you need to get. You need a job, but what do you need a job for? You need a job to get enough money to put the money to work. That's what's going on. So you got to be into all kinds of things to make money work. If you get in one of these programs where you have to bring somebody in, somebody else got to bring somebody in for you to get paid, that's not economics. You see what I'm saying? That's a job. You know what I'm saying? You're not looking for a job, all right? If you're in something where you can put up X amount of dollars and that money go to work and you get dividends off that money starts paying you back without you doing anything other than putting money in, You see what I'm saying? Then that's not a job. Now your money is working for you. You're not working. You're working for the money, and you put the money work for you so that eventually you don't have to work to make the money, because you're making enough money so that the money so that the money can keep you off the job. All right? We got to get out of that job mentality. You follow what I'm saying? Now, the people that are working should be people from the ages of 17 to 35 or 40. Nobody over 40 should be working. I'm just saying, nobody over 40 should be working. Everybody over 40 should have some type of residual income coming in, whereas they're doing something to bring money in, and they don't have to keep doing it over and over and over and over and over and over. Okay? There's things that you can do with your money out there. You have to begin studying money, learn money, learn how money works. Okay? But economics is somebody else or something working and paying you. Okay? And I got all kinds of commodities out there. When I say commodities, I'm talking about gold and diamonds and apples, oranges, all those are commodities. Okay? So you can always invest in certain commodities, but the price is going to go up, price is going to go down. But if you're not growing this stuff, you're gambling. That's stock market. You're gambling, okay? And you don't want to gamble your money away, okay? So so you have to be mindful of that. All right, now, how do you get to the point? Here you are. Now, I'm not talking about the upper middle class, people that don't have enough money to go to college and all that stuff, and you got a job making $70,000 to $80,000 a year. They should be in pretty good shape. I bet they're squandering their money away too, with that 10% mentality. You know, a lot of them make $80,000 a year and still living paycheck to paycheck. All right. The thing is, economics, I'm gonna say it again, somebody else are working and paying you. Okay? All right. Now, from a poor person's standpoint, how do we get there? Mama poor, Papa poor, we grew up poor, last four generations, everybody poor working. Our poor working people trying to put food on the table. All right. How do we get beyond it? How do we get by that? You know? Well, this is what you do. You have to pass this on to the children. See, when your child comes out of high school, they should be well versed on the 50% budget. All right. Now, this is a plan that you can use if you don't have a whole lot of money trying to get into the game. All right. You work two jobs. Now, most jobs will give you 2 days a week off. So you're working 4 days a week, a single shift. And you're working 3 days a week, double shift. That's how that works. All right. You don't want to take the same 2 days off. You don't want to take the same 2 days off on both jobs, because you'll be working double shift 5 days a week. And that's kind of rough. You know what I mean? It's better just do the one shift for the 4 days and do the double shift for the 3 days. You know what I'm saying? That works out a whole lot better. Because you get 4 days to actually, you know, get some good sleep over those 4 days, all right? Well, those of you who are ambitious, and you got a lot of energy, you know, make the same 2 days off on both jobs. And you're working double shifts for 5 days, right? But then you got 2 days off. So if you can recuperate from doing a double shift 5 days straight and have those 2 days off, well, go for it. That's what I'm saying. But it's kind of rough like that. Been there, done that, all right? So what you do, you work your two jobs, right? Now, you save one and live off the other. Now, this is for the children coming out of high school. You get that job. Now, you're looking for a job. You save one and you live off the other, all right? Now, this information, they're not passing down to the children. So what you do, most jobs will pay you $10,000 a year, okay? That will give you $20,000 a year. That don't seem like much. $20,000 a year, man, that ain't no real money. See, but when you first come out of high school, you don't have any rules. So you take what you can get out there. You work 2 years, you pull in $20,000. Okay, you have $20,000 saved up. That's cash up, 20 grand. You take that, you go down and go down to the sheriff's show hookups, and you bid on a three-story property. You can get some three-story properties up there for between $10,000 and $20,000 if you based on what you're trying to do. You know, you can get property like that. I've done it, so I know you can do it. You know what I'm saying? You get a three-story property, right? Keep working the same way you're working. Don't change. Yes, but all your money's on the property right now. Now, as you saving your money, spending your money, saving it, you're still on the 50% budget now. Now what you do, you start rehabbing the property, right? The basement and the first floor, funk it out. That's like having a two-story house, okay, without a basement. You do the basement and the first floor, funk it out. Those are your living quarters, okay? And you're living there. Those are your living quarters. And the house is paid for, so you're just paying taxes, right? Then after that, you take that second and third floor, funk that out, rent it out, okay? Now, if you're getting $500 to $800 a month rent, nowadays you can get $500 a month, easy, for an apartment. That'll give you $1,000 a month coming in, all right, for the one property, all right? $1,000 a month. And remember, you're working two jobs, making $10,000 on each job. So if you get $1,000 a month coming in from the first property that you buy, right, that gives you $12,000 a month, right? Now what you do, you keep going, buy you another property. You feel me? That gives you two properties. Now when you got two properties, rent it out, $1,000 for each. Well, you're getting $1,200 for each month, okay? Well, you're getting $12,000 a year for each property, right? That's $24,000 a year. That's what you was making with two jobs. Now, guess what? Blip. You don't need the two jobs no more. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to work. You can literally retire. You're retiring on $24,000 a year, but you don't have any bills because the rental income is paying for everything. You know what I'm saying? You don't have no mortgage. You don't have no. Well, you have utilities. All you have is utilities. That's it. Utilities and, we teach you to buy a car. Don't buy a car. Don't get a car where you have to pay a note. Get a car, you pay cash. Whatever cash you can afford, that's the car you buy. You know what I'm saying? And then you pay the note to yourself. The thing about them cars, you pay the note to yourself. And then when you build up enough money by paying yourself $200-$300 a month, a car note for the car, right? And any repairs that come from the car will come out of $200 a month you put on the side for the car. So you get enough money, then you buy the upgrade. And next time you buy a better car. Then the following time you buy a better car until you can walk into the dealership, buy your brand new car, cash out. You understand? This way, and doing it like this, you're actually staying out of debt. You don't really need the bank. I'm going to say that again. You don't really need the bank. You have a bank account. Because you're using debit and credit cards, but you don't need credit cards. You're using debit cards to do so. Now, the only thing about this, working economics like this, is that you don't have a lot of credit because you're paying cash for everything. See what I'm saying? So, right now, the way you're living, you actually don't need credit because everything that you want, you can just go ahead and buy it. Straight up, no problem. You know what I'm saying? So you do that, and when you do that, you can retire at a very early age just by doing a 20% budget. Now, here's the thing. How much money do you want to make? Now, if you want that $80,000 to $100,000 a year coming in, keep doing the same thing with the property. Keep buying the property, fix it up, rent it out. Buying the property, fix it up. Run it out. Now, when it get to the point that you have so much property, right, you can start using real estate. They have property managers. See what I'm saying? They have people who will manage your property for you. So you literally don't have to do anything but count money. That's all you have to do. Now you're sitting in the position. Hey, you're not even 30. You're not even 30 years old. Come out of high school. You're not even 30 years old yet, and you don't retire. You're making the kind of money that you want. You can go up to millions of dollars. You want to make millions of dollars through property instead of just buying three-story buildings or two-story buildings. You can start buying apartment complexes. You know what I mean? And have the managers manage the property for you. So really, your income is unlimited, okay? Based on but you have to have discipline. The first 2 years is a monster, but you're young and plenty of energy. You can handle the first 2 years, right? See what I'm saying? You might even want to go for 4 years like that. Follow what I'm saying? This will give you one, two, three buildings. You'll have three buildings making $36,000 off each building. You know, and after that, you work 4 years, you don't have to work no more. Just imagine going to work for 4 years and don't have to work no more. You can retire from the workforce in 4 years. That's amazing. But that's something to think about. We go to work and we work for 30 years and we get a little gold watch and we happy and go back. Then when the prices and everything go up, and you have to get a second job just to maintain. That's crazy. You know what I mean? But that's what's going on with a lot of adults. A lot of elderly people got to go out and work second jobs. They go to Walmart escorting people around and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It's amazing, but it shouldn't be that way, you know? So what we're telling you how to do now is how to, from nothing, right, with no prospects whatsoever, now some of you might want to go to college. If you want to go to college, you can do the same thing with the real estate. Have enough money to go to college without being $70,000-$80,000 in debt, right? Because you can make that through the real estate while you're in school. As you get to your four buildings, you got plenty of time to go to school. And if you want to learn, most people go to school so that they can make more money on the job market. So you can go to school or not go to school. It's up to you. See what I'm saying? But it's better to further your education if you can in a particular area, especially in business management, stuff like that there. Or if you like science, you can go ahead and be a scientist and try to invent something or make something that's going to better the world. You know, you have the brain power to do whatever you want. But the thing about it is that you're free. Now, if you get caught up in the drugs and the bike clubs and the partying and all that, you might not make your goals because that takes an awful toll on your brain. And remember, the brain is like your laptop. You screw the laptop up, it ain't going to work too good. I don't care what you do. The software is not going to work properly. Nothing. The laptop's all screwed up. You screw your brain up in the same way. But now you can buy another laptop, but you can't go out and buy another brain. All right? So you have to think about You really have to think about what you're doing, all right? And you have to focus on your plan. See, this is a pretty good plan for people coming out of high school broke, you know? Now, parents, there's something that you can do to help these children along when you're dealing with this. What you can do is not force your children out of the house too early, you know? Let them stay there. Let them give you a couple $100 a month for rent, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Don't be in a hurry to kick them out because they don't have a foothold. Wait, at least let them work for 2 or 3 years, you know, while they're staying with you, you know? Now, if your child is home playing video games all day long, well, you got to do something. You got to put some pressure on, get them to make up, get up and do something, you know? But you get them a... You don't pressure them to leave the house too early. Let them stay there until they pull that money in. You know what I'm saying? Now, if the parents have good credit, that will help you out because a lot of times you might can get property through other means with a cosign when you're going to the bank. When you're dealing with those sharks, the banks are sharks, you know what I mean? They got one thing on their mind, how to make money for themselves. They want that money working so that they working to make money for them. And when you're going into debt, that's what you're doing. You're making money for the sharks. So, and if you, you know, if you in there swimming with the sharks, if you're not careful, they will eat you alive. You'll wind up sleeping on the street. They'll take everything. That's just how the game plays. It ain't personal for them. That's how the game plays. So if you're going to play the game, you got to learn how to play, right? So once you start getting your first property set up, right, you know, you begin to, you might can develop a little squad or something, a little, or some friends of yours coming out of school, coming out of these trade schools and stuff, you know. You get one from each chain. You get a plumber, you get a carpenter, you get a you get an electrician, you know. You know, you get a masonry guy, you know, and you put them together as a team. You can set up a license, set up your own construction company. You can call it set up your own construction company. Pay these guys X amount of dollars to do all the work on your houses. If you're moving, if you're doing property like that, you know. Or you can hire construction teams, or you can hire a construction company that will work with you. You know what I mean? That's not going to just charge you crazy, you know? And you can work like that there. But there's a lot of ways to do this where you can really, really get paid on what you're trying to do, you know? Now, you have residual income. Let's talk about residual income. What in the world is residual income? If you write a poem and you put that poem on the market and that poem starts to sell, you don't have to write that poem again. As long as that poem is selling, you're going to be making money. That's what we call residual income, right? If you put out a record and that record's selling, as long as that record's selling, you know, you have residual income, right? That's how the whole thing works. So now property, when you're dealing with property, that's residual income. Because once you buy the property, you don't have to buy the property again. You know, once you buy it and fix it up and got tenants in there, that's it. You don't have to, you know, buy it or anything because you've already done it. So that's what we call residual income. Money that's coming in where you don't have to do nothing for it after you first initiate whatever you're trying to do with that money. Okay? And all this is coming from what? All this is coming from the 50% budget dealing with Joe. You know, we're talking about property, real estate, all this kind of stuff. This is coming from that one passage. You know, if you go through the whole thing, thinking in terms of the 50% budget in real estate, now you got to remember where they lived at. You know, they lived terribly. They didn't have. Well, what they had was theirs. They owned what they had. It belonged to the family. You know what I'm saying? And but they wasn't farmers. They wasn't growing a type of crops. Well, the drought hit. So once the drought hit, that's when they came to Kemet looking for food. You know what I'm saying? They went to Kemet looking for food. That's what I'm saying. Because they wasn't managing. They wasn't managing the property, right? They wasn't managing what they had and all that kind of stuff. They just fighting over who dad liked the most, you know? That's silly stuff like that, you know? But that's how things go. So you can learn a lot of lessons from these stories, but you can get caught up into the occult mindset, okay? Oh, he was the chosen guy. Yeah, he was special. You know what I mean? Psalm 82 says that you are all God. So everybody on the planet is special. Everybody on the planet has great potential. The thing about it, when people start talking to you a certain way, you know, you don't think that you can do it. You don't think that you can accomplish anything. But you can. You know what I'm saying? Because of who you are. But you have to accept who you are. Recognize who you are, and from that point on, you're on your way. You know. Now, let's get back on topic here. Okay. Topic is economics. Okay. We're gonna recap this a little bit. Economics is somebody else working and paying you. All right. Now, somebody else or something working and paying you. Now you have this money. All right. You got money coming in hand over foot. All right. Now, what are you going to do? How else can you put this money to work? You know, you got money sitting in the bank. They ain't paying you nothing. What are they giving you? 2-3% of interest a year? That ain't no, that's not the money. They're not paying you anything. Okay. You can, there's some safe ways to make money out there with your money, you know. It depends on how popular you are, right? You can invest in some of the companies. You can invest in Amazon. You can invest in Walmart, you know. Invest in companies that deal with food, clothing, shelter, and security. And that's a little more secure than some of the other things that you can invest in. You know what I'm saying? Food, clothing, shelter, security. That's where your investments need to go, in those areas. You know what I'm saying? In the big stores. You can invest in the big stores. If the stores are keeping up with the trends and the changes and all that kind of stuff, you know, you can make money by investing with them. But you have to have someplace to put your money. You can't just leave it in the bank because the bank is not paying you nothing on the money. Well, then it depends on how much you have, you know. But the bank's not paying you nothing on the money. So you got to figure out what to do with the money and how to get the money in. Now, most of the money, when you want to get in, you're going into the millions. You're talking about sales. You have to sell something. I'm just saying. You have to be able to sell something. That's where most of the money is. The money is in sales. So now what you can do, you can buy and sell real estate. You can do that too. Since you enter the real estate market, you can go 100 into the real estate market, or you just make enough just to go to college so you can so you can be a scientist, or you want to invent something, or get into coding, or you know, dealing with computers, or whatever you want to do. You know, there's money in everything if you know how to play. Right? You have to know how to play first. So that's where your study should be at. Your study should be in business management, business ownership. And whatever field that you really, really like, okay? If you like music, if you love music so much, and you can play an instrument or whatever, see what I'm saying? Once you get to a certain point economically, yay, write some songs. Get your band together if you want. You know, you got income coming in that you can afford to put a band together. And you can hook up with some of the guys if you like putting on shows and stuff like that there. That's another thing. You might want to bring Beyonce into town one day. You get with some promoters and hook it up, put up the money, bring Beyonce in and get paid. So it's a lot of ways you can make money out there. You can use that money to make money, all right? But what we're doing right now, we're just giving you the basics. This is the basics that you can break the cycle generation to generation to generation of being broke. All right. Generation to generation to generation of being broke. And that's what's going on. So we have to break the cycle. All right. Now, when you go into business, you need to learn public business and private business. And there's two types of businesses out there that you can get into. Or it's all the same business, but there's two types of ways to set structure up for your business, all right? Now, if you set your structure up, your business up as a trust, all right, then you're not paying taxes. Let's think about that. That's the way to deduct those taxes. That's on the private side. You see what I'm saying? That's something that you can learn. You can learn more about trust, how trust set up, how they work. But the thing about it, if you hear what I'm saying, you can learn. The thing is, you have to study. You can't spend all your time watching episodes on TV or in the clubs, bouncing, jumping up and down, you know, getting high and all that. You can't spend your time like that, especially if you want to get into that big money, you know. Once you get into the big money, well, that's a whole other story. But you want to do everything in moderation, you know. If you're, if the businesses that you decide to get into require a lot of socializing. Okay. They're pushing the thing that you should be drinking. You don't have to, you know. The best way to get around it, from my standpoint, when in a social area, is just tell them, hey, I'm on the wagon, man. You know what I mean? Just tell them you're on the wagon. That's all. What you are, you're on the wagon. Okay. And they'll understand, oh, okay, well, he can't handle the liquor, so we don't want to give him no booze, give him some juice. And they understand that, you know, because a lot of them been there, done that. So, and that keeps them from looking at you sideways, you know, because, you know, some people don't trust you unless they can get you high or where they can manipulate you. So the whole thing is interesting. So you have to be careful out there when you enter into the world, okay? Now, so we pretty much covered pretty much everything that I was dealing with as far as economics is concerned, you know? The most important thing is how you begin. You need to sit back. When we do our first assertion, if I walk the path of being honest and good, I'll keep my mind focused on what you sow. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of the enlightened, and I will get what I want. I see them. That's the hardest part. The hardest part, not being honest and good. Most of us are honest and good. I mean, then we get pushed. You know, the hardest part, figuring out what you want. That's the most difficult part. So when you come out of high school, most of us don't know what we want. The sooner you figure out what you want, the earlier you can go after it. All right? I was torn between being an athlete and being a musician. That's kind of rough because if you're a musician and you're playing with the band, you can't be on the field playing football. So you can't do both, you know? You can play two types of football. You can play two types of sports. You can play basketball and football or basketball and tennis or something. But but you can't play music and sports. It was kind of tricky, you know what I mean? But I always did like music. But I wasn't sure. I had a tough time picking which one I really, really wanted to do, you know? And so it was a while before I got into the music. I finally went to college for music, but it's kind of tricky. The sooner you figure out what you want, the sooner you figure out what you can do. Now, you can get caught up in emotionalism, doing things because it emotionally feels good, or you can just really find something that you really, really like to do, you know? Find something that you really like to do and go for it, you know? Become obsessed with it. Get into it. Learn everything about it. You like it anyway, so it's not hard work for you. You can do it all day long because this is something that you like to do, you know? And figure out a way to make money. Well, we already told you how to make money. You know what I mean? So this is something that you like to do that you can do because you got money coming in from the real estate. So you can sit around and play music all day long if you want. Big deal. This is what you like to do. This is what you do. You play music. You done. you've been trained. You've been trained yourself in business. You're hiring business managers to manage the stuff for you and all that. So you have a lot of free time. A lot of free time. So you can do music or whatever you want to do. You know. This is what I'm saying. And if you start that, well, I like real estate, but I really like playing football. I love the game so much. You know what I mean? So do the same thing. Go ahead, work the two jobs, get the first property, and then head to college. You know, head to college, play football in high school, all through high school, play football. And if you get a grant, then you go to college. That's what I'm saying. If you get a grant, you go to college, but you got to remember, while you're in college, it's kind of hard to work two jobs while you're in college, you know? A lot of times, it's, and sometimes it might be a good idea to just hold up for a year before you go to college. Go ahead and get that money in, and then you can spend all your time just studying and learning. But staying away from, if you're dealing with sports, staying away from sports like that, it gets a little tricky because, you need to be in shape. So it's a catch 22. You have to figure out how to work that out. How you're going to make money with the real estate, and go to school at the same time. That's tough. That's tough. You know what I mean? I went that route, and it was really, really rough because I wasn't able to get to the real estate because all the money was going out. Then I got married, children came, yada yada. Oh boy. It got to be a little tough. So we're putting the word out now for the children. Start your journey early. Pick out something that you really, really love to do. And then as you're working out, you can find something that you really like to do and find a job doing it. That would be great. You know what I mean? That would be really great, you know? So you got people that like to plan things, wedding planners and all that kind of stuff, you know, social people. If you can find a job in the social industry, if you like socializing, talking, and hanging out with people, that's something different. But find something that you really, really like to do, you know? Hey, some children like to play video games. They love playing video games. You can make money. Learn how to make the video game. Learn how to create the video games so that you can make money with the video games. You know what I mean? You know, don't just play video games because you got money sitting all day long playing video games. Figure out how to make money with that. Figure out how to create a job with the video game. You know what I'm saying? Just find out something that you really like to do and just make a way to get paid, you know, after you get paid, where you can take the time to pursue that. You know what I'm saying? Then find a way to get paid doing that. But go after what you really, really like. And it makes it easier on your journey because you won't be bored because you love doing this stuff all day. You love doing this stuff. You know what I'm saying? I miss a lot of things because I like to sing. I don't have the greatest voice in the world, but I know how to sing. I listen to some of these guys like Kurt Como and those guys. They don't have great voices. Look at Sammy Davis Jr. He didn't have a great voice, but he knew how to sing. And it's different. When you if you know how to sing, you don't have to really have a great voice, you know? But you know how to sing. Now, if you got a great voice and don't know how to sing, you're going to be in trouble. I'm telling you, somebody has to teach you how to sing. Everybody with a great voice don't know how to sing. That's why you don't get nowhere, you know what I mean? It's one thing to have a great voice and to learn how to sing it well. So a lot of people don't know that. But I like the music, and that's what I got into. So now we're going to recap, you know, what we talked about for the last hour because it's so important. Remember, economics, somebody else working and paying you. That's economics, right? And if you have somebody else or something working and paying you, that alleviates a lot of problems and gives you residual income because you have to have something that they're paying you for, all right? My estimate, the quickest way to do it is to work two jobs. You're talking about the 50% budget. It comes from the Bible. When his family got jealous because the parent wasn't treating the children the same, which the parent can't because all the children aren't the same, but the children don't know that. This child don't know that they're different from the other child. They can't treat all the children the same way, you know what I'm saying? So they got jealous of the younger child. Well, there's a lesson in that. Parenting, it's called parenting. There is a lesson in that, but so anyway, they wind up getting rid of Joseph, and he wound up going into Kemet, and he became, or Egypt, as commonly known. And he wound up becoming the Grand Vizier of Egypt, right? And he saved Egypt by telling Pharaoh, save half the crop, spend half the crop. That's the 50% budget, okay? Now, while he on the 50% budget, we'll take that particular platform. We'll take that particular platform, and we'll use that particular platform to create a situation where you can make enough money to do whatever you want to do, all right? You work two jobs, right? You live off one job, right? And you save the other. That's the 50% budget. This is best done when you first come out of high school. Oh, there's something that we didn't talk about. What if you're already spending 110% of your money? You know what I mean? And you cannot be borrowing and trying to rob Peter to pay Paul, as my mother used to say it. You know, how do you work towards getting towards the 50% budget? Now, we didn't talk about that. So we're going to talk about that for a couple of minutes. So we're almost out of time. We're going to talk about that for a couple of minutes. How do you get towards that? What you do, you start with the, you got four basics: food, clothes, and shelter, security. You start with your food, all right? Once you decide to work towards the 50% budget, you can't go out no more. You can't go whining and dining. You can't go to these restaurants. You can't even go to Mickey D's. I'm telling you, you can't go nowhere. Think about it. If you have three people and you're eating just one meal out of McDonald's, that's $30 a day. Right? That's $900 a month going to food. Now, if you eat two meals out of McDonald's, that's $1,800 a month for three people eating two meals at McDonald's. McDonald's food is not really cheap. You know what I mean? They just got you programmed to think that it's cheap, but it's not really cheap. Food's it's not as expensive as going to some of these places, but it is expensive, okay? That's all I'm saying. If you're trying to get back towards the 50% budget, you have to cook. Most people that are spending that kind of money, working and spending that kind of money, they have a place to stay. They have a stove, you know, that they can cook and have a refrigerator. They can store food. Not only do you need a refrigerator, you need to buy your separate freezer as well, okay? So that's the first thing you need to do is start cutting back on your food expense. Do like the women do. Most men don't deal with coupons, but start cutting out. If you're buying name brand foods and stuff, start cutting out coupons and all that kind of stuff. Then you deal with your clothing, right? No more name brand clothes, all right? You might have to go to some of these secondhand stores and buy you this and buy you that. Especially for the children. Things like that was hard for the children because they're under peer pressure at school. But you have to teach them what's happening too. You know what I'm saying? So that you can get back towards the 50% budget, right? Now, you're making these changes not so that you can go out and buy a better car. That's not why you're making these changes. You're making these changes so that you can get down to where your entire lifestyle is on half of your income. That's what you're getting to. Now you have money set aside so that you can invest in stuff, that you can buy, so you can put the money to work. It will take some of the pressure off of you, all right? But I'm just telling you how to start getting towards the 50% budget, right? And if you're working on a job where you gotta take that bag to work, man. You understand what I'm saying? You got to start taking lunches to work. That one cup, you're spending $2 or $3 a day just in coffee, right? You know what I'm saying? There's 365 days in a year, right? You're spending $600 or $700 a year in coffee. Most places that you work at, they got a microwave. They got a microwave in the place, most places that you work, you know what I'm saying? take your stuff with you, take the coffee with you. You know, when the coffee gets cold, take it, pop it in the microwave. You know, and you're looking good. Or take some instant, have some instant coffee and some cups with some sugar at your desk, right? Right in the drawer, in your desk, all right? So when that coffee break comes, you know what I mean? You take your coffee break comes, take your cup out, put a little instant coffee in there, bam. You know, right to the microwave. And you got a nice hot cup of coffee. And what it costs you? A few cents. It costs you a few pennies. See what I'm saying? You have to be creative if you're trying to get back to the 50% budget. This is for the adults that's already over now, all right? Don't try to keep up with the Joneses. forget the Joneses, man. Once you get to the 50% budget, you can keep up with them. But until then, you can't keep up with them because you're living beyond your means. If you can't save half of your money, you're literally living beyond your means. Okay? You're literally living beyond your means. Okay? And you say, well, the place I live at is like $1,500 a month, but I'm in the area where they got nice schools and stuff like that there. Look, I don't care what school your child goes to. You need to take some time to homeschool your child to. You need to spend at least 1 or 2 hours a day with your child, training them, teaching them, okay? Because they're not getting everything in school. Trust me, they're not getting everything in school, all right? So it don't matter what area you live in. As long as you're able to keep your child 1 or 2 grades ahead of them, that's the key to the whole thing. Your child straight A all the way through. You can get your child skip straight A all the way through. But that's the work you have to put in at home with your child. You follow what I'm saying? If you're thinking about your child going to an Ivy League college, right? Don't rely on the school system to give your child the extra information they need to get them ready for that particular college, all right? You have to do that as a parent, all right? Now, I'm talking to the adults now, you know, and I want you to come and adult, our children, things are going on. But the main thing economically is you can't go out. If you're over the 50% budget, you can't go out, all right? You can't buy name brand stuff, all right? Start doing the coupon, shop for deals, and stuff like that. Don't buy anything unless it's on sale. Well, everything in the store is actually on sale, but it's reduced and it has a reduced price. Say it like that. Because something be on sale to make it. Well, they're talking about reduced price. They reduce the price. Shop around. Look for reduced prices on everything that you're doing. Okay? And when you start buying computers and stuff like that for the children, right? Don't pay cash up for them. They got TV network that you can pay a little bit each month, all right? Take 3 or 4 months to pay for it so that it stays within your budget. You have the money to pay cash for it, but you want to stick to the 50% budget. See, sometimes you pay cash, it takes you over the 50% budget, and that's not what you want to do. Now, you can borrow the money from yourself and pay it back over 2 or 3 months to maintain the budget. You can do it like that, too, but you can just go ahead and Home Shopping Network, QVC, you buy it from one of those networks. They'll send it out to you, and you can pay it over a couple of months. You don't need credit for that. You see what I'm saying? And that will keep you within your budget. But there's ways that you can cut back. There's things that you can do that will make it better for you. I'm talking about the adults, all right? Okay? Now, back to recap it, all right? Now, remember what I'm saying, though. Back to recapping, okay? Economics is somebody else working and paying you. If you don't have somebody working and paying you money, you do not have economics. You can do that through real estate. You can take your money to make money. You can write poems. You can write books. You can make records. You know what I'm saying? You can design a T-shirt. You can design designing a T-shirt is pretty easy. You can design a T-shirt, send it out to the people that make T-shirts that will directly ship the T-shirt right to your customers. Okay, put the T-shirt on Amazon. You know, people look for T-shirt, your T-shirt will come up with that design on it. You know what I'm saying? It's a win-win situation. So, but there's a lot of ways to create residual income for yourself so that you can make money. You can make extra money to do stuff. But you have to sit around and can't be, you know, you can't be thinking about what happened on the last episode of Hit and Run or whatever, whatever episode you're watching out there. I don't really want to mention names of episodes because I'm on radio. So, but whatever episode you watch, you can't be sitting around thinking about that. You have to think about where you're going, what you want, how you're going to get there, and what you're going to do when you get there. All right? And that's what's going on. So, just we recap. I'm going to finish recapping. you work two jobs, okay? It's for the children. You have to tell your children, adults that's listening on the line right now, tell your children that work two jobs, live off one, save the other. Okay, you do that for 2 years, just give you $20,000. For $20,000, you can go on a sheriff's sale, bid on a three-story property, all right? Bid until you get one for $20,000, $15,000, whatever they do. You know, some business about $1,500. You know what I mean? So if you can bid up, I'm not saying that you're going to just jump out there and get it, but you have to work at it. See what I'm saying? You have to shop around. You have to go to different areas. If you're going to sheriff's sale, my suggestion, go to blighted areas that's run down, that's all beat up. You're guaranteed to get your three-story building at a cheap price. I'm telling you, guaranteed. And what you do, after you get the building, then you start working on fixing it and repairing it. Once you get the building, and the building is in your name, you own the building cash out. All right. Now, you're coming out of high school, you don't have no credit. This is where your parents come in. Your parents have credit, right? Then you can qualify for a loan to fix the whole place up at one time, or you can just do it little by little, okay? Working through your 50% budget. Just keep 50% budget going, all right? And out of the money that you're taking in, the half that you're supposed to spend, all right? Call a plumber in, see what I'm saying? Call an electrician in. But now don't bid on a house that's all run down and dilapidated. You got to bid on a house that just needs cosmetic work. Bring the painters in and the fixer-upper guys, you know what I mean? You don't want to buy a house where you don't want to buy a shell. Well, you got to tear the house down to the ground and rebuild it. That's not what you want. You have to, like I'm saying, what they call it, due diligence. You have to look around and get the address to these places. You can go on the internet, look at the places up. Go around, look at the property before you bid on it, and then you bid on the property, all right? But you can't go into You can't go into a high price area, okay, where the real estate, where the banks is building the area up, because you're not going to get that property, because the investors are like crazy buying property in that area. You go into an area that's blighted, run down, high crime, and all of that kind of stuff. It's the areas that you want. You go in those kind of areas, and you bid, okay? With that, we have done another hour today. Thank you so much for being with me. I have walked the path of divine energy today and did not break the universal law of reap what you sow. All energy went out for a divine purpose, and I will reap what I have sown this day. All that I have put out, I eagerly embrace its return. So let it be written, so let it be done. Everything that I did today, I'll have no problem with it coming back, because reap what you sow. You understand? So everything that I have sown, okay, I don't mind it coming back. Because I did good today. All right? I didn't do anything today that I wouldn't want to come back to me. So all the energy I put out, let it come on back. I'm waiting for it. I'm working for it to come. Remember our slogan, and we will talk tomorrow. Now, tomorrow we're talking about health. So every Friday we're going to be talking about health. So tune in, especially you guys on that medication. Tune in, and we'll see what we want, okay? Much love.